So welcome everyone to the... Come on, shut it off, Stuart. Let me do my introduction.
Sorry.
So welcome everyone to the Conspicuous Podcast. Not only are we live and podcasting, we are live on Facebook as well. So thank you for joining us. If you're watching, please do comment. We'll interact with any comments we get while we're podcasting. But anyway, today to do introductions, I'm Steve Cranston from Lilac Films. My Twitter is at Lilac Films. And as usual, I'm joined by Stuart Walton.
Hello, Steve.
At Conspicuous CBM. And I'm very pleased to say I've got a special guest today. We've got Mr. Carl Barlow from Digital Eyes Media, who is joining us. Carl's Twitter.
Hi.
I'm waving at Carl on the live feed. Of course, we should also say that we are recording live thanks to our good friends, Paul Walters from Stafford Industrial Supplies. We are in his premises recording live as we speak.
We sure are.
Native ads later on, you know.
Anyway, so to welcome Carl. Carl is from Digital Eyes Media. His Twitter handle is at @DigitalEyes_Media. And that's Eyes, EYES.
Digital Eyes underscore M.
So give us a proper introduction, Carl. Tell us, what do you do?
Okay, so my name's Carl Barlow, and I own Digital Eyes Media. And we're a digital marketing agency based in Stoke-on-Trent. And we help businesses really make the most out of digital marketing. So that's website design and promotion.
Fantastic.
Including social media.
So today's episode is going to be about, are you making a fool of yourself on Facebook? Hence the live stream on Facebook. There's a reason that we're putting ourselves on here, thanks to Carl. But it's not about a business making a fool of themselves. It's about what you're doing as an individual that owns a business on Facebook. What about the things that you say on your personal account? Who are you friends with? And what impact is it actually having on the people that you do business with when you go off on one of those rants or you have a little bit too much to drink and some things just suddenly appear the next morning on Facebook? So guys, thoughts about this? What do you think about what people are posting on Facebook?
Don't post drunk.
Come on, Stuart. Is it going to be a tired day today?
I've been a very tired bunny, but no, I think the problem with Facebook is that it's that dreadful mixture of personal activity and okay, we'll step back. A lot of people choose, have linked up, have friends. So LinkedIn, I suppose, is very simple. These are people who are your business contacts. So in business, you know roughly how to behave. So you'll adhere to the standard business etiquette. Facebook, unfortunately, a dreadful mixture of people from your business or professional life, or maybe extracurricular activities which are of a more formal nature. You might be members of a church, the Scouting Association, school governors, something of that form, and your personal friends. And unfortunately, all that gets mixed into one big melting pot. And how do you address this wide variety of audience in a way which is not going to make you look like a right prat?
Definitely. There's very sort of grey lines in between those different communities or groups of people that you interact with on Facebook. And obviously, the business community and the other business owners are one part of that, one dimension almost of your Facebook community almost.
It's almost a merging of two worlds, isn't it? You've got
Definitely.
Your friends and then suddenly you find yourself in business and then you get contacts that you've worked for, associates that suddenly want to be a bit closer mm-hmm. than just associates.
They add you business to friends.
Business friends. There's some people that's the way they like to sort of like to meet and interact. They want to be Facebook buddies for that. And that's fine for mm-hmm. starters. But it depends what you're posting on there as well. I think this goes for employees of companies as well, that a lot of the blue chips I talk to, they'll be quite like they keep quite a big watch on all the things people put on Facebook, and it's things like the cyberbullying when that comes up, and things like the people that sort of like the young kids where they're sort of like they got their sort of like silly pictures of them with joints in their mouth and things
yep.
like that and quickly find out that they haven't got a job much longer. Is this from personal experience you're laughing at this?
I've just not commented at all today.
But this is what I think people don't think about is who's actually looking at their Facebook feed, no matter how much people talk about social.
And I think also just a second thing, Facebook, the sort of restrictions, the sort of settings are so opaque that you think you may have buttoned something down to a limited audience, but unfortunately, because it's so complex, it's always changing. Facebook are always sort of pushing the boundaries or changing them or changing the things that you can inadvertently share more than you intended to a wider audience than you thought you had. And then, oops, that's when it all goes horribly wrong.
You can set levels to your friendship as well. So if you don't want to reject someone's friendship, I mean, this is probably a question for you as well, how you do this. But so if you know you've got a business associate that clearly they want to interact with you like this, you don't want to be rude and sort of say, no, you're not there yet. But you can set a level to how much they can see of what you post. So you can have your sort of like your very social pictures kept to a very select group, and then your what I call your life event pictures, like the ones that lots of people may want to interact on, a new baby, a wedding, and things like that, which can go out to a wider audience. But how do you go about setting that up?
Which is fine, yeah, you do have that as an option, but it's not foolproof. And at the end of the day, if somebody shares that post, it then increases the amount of people that see it outside of your friendship group as well. So it's not necessarily just that it's your connections and the people that you're friends with on Facebook. It's if that post or that picture or that video or whatever gets shared, then it exponentially increases the amount of people that are exposed to that. And obviously, you have no control over that unless you turn sharing off completely. So,
have you ever decided not to do business with someone based on how they behaved on Facebook?
I can't think of any direct example of where I haven't, but it does help to form an opinion of somebody's personality outside of what you would see in a networking sort of environment, or even just social drinks, like when we have like a Christmas gathering or a gathering of like a monthly get together or whatever. You get a completely different picture from somebody's Facebook posts and the kind of things that they interact with, the kind of posts that they post out quite frequently. You get a whole picture because it's not filtered. And it does give you a completely different viewpoint on that person.
Now, see, I may be cruel, but I'd say I have actually sort of like looked at someone that I was working with and decided, you know what, I don't want to work for you anymore based on some things you're posting. Mm-hmm. It was tantrums mm-hmm. on Facebook where something's happened and they're putting these ominous posts on there where they're clearly crying for sympathy, very narcissistic.
Yep.
But I just thought, you know what? I feel uncomfortable sort of like working with you, because what if you were to do that in a situation where you're around one of my customers, or you just kind of sort of like, because clearly you can't control yourself around your social circle. So how am I to trust you that you can control yourself around a business circle?
Definitely. And when you've got that platform that people can use to talk about their life, not just about their business, it really does give you a different perspective on that person. You do get those people that are quite blatantly looking for attention or looking for some sympathy, or something's gone on and it's one of those vague posts that is there just to generate some comments and a bit of interaction, and those are the kind of things that you just think, well, what's the thought process behind that? And how does that translate into their business as well?
It tends to sort of say that you're an attention seeker. You're using this portal as a means to mass communicate attention towards you. And I kind of think, well, yeah, you know what? That just shows more about who you are as a person than anything else for it. But
on the flip side, though, I think it's a really great way of being able to find out some things about people that you wouldn't find out in any other way. So it's something that you have that window into somebody's life that you don't have at like a business meeting that you would have with somebody. Yes, you have that kind of a conversation about what you've done at the weekend or whatever, but you don't necessarily get exposed to all of the things that they get involved in and the things that maybe are really close to them that they take for granted. And you see a post on Facebook where they've been jet skiing or something, and you don't realise that, and you wouldn't have known if Facebook wasn't there. So on the flip side, it can be a really positive thing as well, because you get more of a view of that person's life, which you you can obviously talk about when you've got common interests.
Now, you've dressed it up a bit, but that's Facebook stalking, isn't it, that we're talking about here?
Not stalking so much.
Well, we can call it different words. Now, we're in a safe space here. Obviously, it's all public anyway, and on Facebook.
Indeed.
But Facebook stalking clearly is something that that business people do, because like you say, it does paint a picture of people you're likely to work with. And actually, you're talking about the useful side of it. It does give you something where, if you know something's gone on in their life, that is clearly a significant moment. It gives you a conversation topic with them. And as long as it's not too creepy, the stalking, it shows that you care. If it's something like they've had a child recently, or they've got married recently, and you've seen sort of like a life event through Facebook, then clearly that's not a problem to talk about that. If it's a case that you've noticed that they recently split with their husband or boyfriend or girlfriend, that probably is a bit of an issue to start sort of like drilling down into sort of like the more personal details that go on there.
Yeah.
Or they were at a specific location and they sort of said, oh, I saw that you were out there last night. How was it? What did you think about that? Maybe that's going a little bit too far. But something general where it's getting information gathering and learning about sort of like they say, what makes them tick, and trying to do it in a non-creepy way can actually be a very powerful way to actually potentially show a business to win people over, to show that you care, show
interest in them. I think it does show if you've taken the time out to comment on a post or read something that they've been involved in. I think it does show that you're more you value that relationship more, which is only a good thing, I would think. I think there's definitely two sides to it. You've got the negative where you can sometimes see somebody's true colours that you may not pick up on in a business meeting. But on the flip side, you can learn stuff that you wouldn't have known had Facebook not been there.
So what about the people then that are the keyboard warriors that will go out onto Facebook with an agenda that clearly they sort of they make them across very differently in a business meeting? I'd say they're quite shy people, but then suddenly on Facebook they've got an opinion on everything, and they're posting political opinions, they're commenting with everyone else, is posts on there explaining why they're wrong about this, they're wrong about that, but doing it in quite an aggressive way. What are our thoughts on that? What do we think about how that's approached? What impact does it have on what you think about them?
I must say, I'm always very careful what I post on Facebook, because I don't, at the end of the day, I want my Facebook direction on Facebook the same to be on LinkedIn and Twitter. Now, that's a personal choice, and I sort of treat the whole thing, so very conservative. Then people act conservative and say on LinkedIn and go the opposite on Facebook, I do worry, because I just think part of it is, I go back to what we said in the past, character is competence. If people betray signs of their character, you think this is, they're all disciplined, they can't, in a sense, keep themselves under control.
There should be some congruency, shouldn't there?
Yeah, indeed.
What you see on LinkedIn, what you see on Facebook.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you don't want people with sort of, hidden personalities which only show themselves out from the darkest depths of Facebook. The way I see them at business meetings is the way I should see them, and, if I just met them on the streets and, we were just saying hello, in town. So, to my mind, having these sort of, slightly, as you say, narcissistic, sort of meltdown moments on Facebook, what's going on? And I would, I think, like you, Steve, I avoid them like the plague, because something about that behaviour just rings alarm bells in my head, and I just want to avoid it. And clearly, people, all three of us have got sort of outside activities that are probably not LinkedIn material, which we will think. But I will still post about those in a completely appropriate and non-confrontational, I don't know what the word is to use. But
I think you could say is, would you show it to your grandmother?
And if not,
you shouldn't put it online.
Yeah, yeah. And if my mother's going to get upset about it, I ain't going to put it anywhere. That's for sure.
Definitely.
So, okay. Now, we talked about how it is working with other businesses and those that want to be friends through Facebook. But what about the businesses where they work with customers? So the example I'll give is, my wife has a children's music group called Moo Music, and she'll work with the parents and toddlers. And essentially, she's had the issue where a lot of the parents will want to add and connect through Facebook. Facebook is the main platform for advertising, but often they'll be very little known about one another. So she created a second profile just for those ones and basically hid one that is for her close friends. So she only adds people on one, and she'll then have an open one that will be basically a door to everyone on there, but it won't get, say, personal pictures of our children on there. It'll be a very sort of like
Corporate term.
Yeah, well, as corporate as you would go with sort of like a children's franchise. Sure. So it'll be sort of like around her business, but still a personal one that is looks like it's her, basically. So a picture of her on that as well. A little bit of things that she's doing. If we got a date night, she'll put something about that on there as well. So a bit of social stuff. But by and large, it's sort of like it's based around events that are coming up.
Button downs, as American would say, yeah.
So is that a solution, having a second profile, do you think, to cater for those if you're in a B2C industry where you've got customers that...
Especially will... when it's in the C is very is a very personal C, not a high street C. And maybe that's one way of doing it, because obviously... you know, your wife's, you know, that Moo Moo Music business is clearly you're dealing with, in fact, it's a secondary line of customer, which is the person on Facebook's children. So in a sense, you're dealing very much a family to family. It's almost business to family type environment. So maybe that's the appropriate way to doing it. I mean, I think Facebook groups are also another good alternative if you've got, you know, I mean, the question is just end day. It's management time and trying to sort it all out. So maybe a Facebook group is a good way of doing it as well. My son does sort of musical theatre with Rooftop Studios, and you know, I mean, all the business of the whole thing is run through a Facebook group, you know, and people put notices, you know, hello, my Josh is going to be 15 minutes late today to the thing, you know, and he's always the same kid, he's always late 15 minutes, but it's you know, and they post photos and pictures and stuff like that, and I suppose that's one way of doing it, really. And that's you don't have to be friends with any of these people. It's just a way of interacting through Facebook, and that seems to be, you know,
it comes back to what your customer wants. And some of them will say, well, you know what, part of what's important to them is being friends through Facebook, having that connection to you through that, and you don't want to say no, absolutely not. This Facebook is personal to me. You can't connect.
Okay, in the case of my son's, you know, activity, you know, it's more they're more adult kids. You know, I mean, the age range of Rooftop Studios are, you know, from 4 to sort of 16. So clearly, the junior ones maybe more like music. But even so, it's more of a school-like environment. The mothers and fathers are not sitting there in the same way. So in a sense, it's separated out, and the Facebook group is probably the right way. I think just as I'm talking and thinking about your wife's business, you know, she's probably seeing the parents are with the children whilst they engage in musical activities, and it's a development activity for babies and toddlers. And maybe a second, you know, Facebook group is maybe too cold, and maybe the personal, you know, having this secondary Facebook profile is the right way to do it, to avoid, you know, the pain of oversharing.
Now, how about if we twist it around a bit then as well? So neither Stuart or myself are employers, but Carl, you do employ as well. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have any concerns about employees and what they do on Facebook and how they post? Because essentially, they are looked upon as representatives of the company. And if they were to have an incident, we won't hypothesize what could have happened, but if there was an instance, that could ultimately come back to you as well. Has that ever been something that's concerned you or something that you've ever monitored or worried about?
No, it's not something that I would say concerns me too much, because I think with staff, you need to be able to trust them, and they are always a representative of your business, whether they're working or not. And I think that the key thing is being able to draw that barrier between work and personal life. But I also think that understanding that, and I have the conversation with my oldest son, who's 12, nearly 13, is that every time you post on Facebook, you've got to treat it like it's there written in stone and it'll be there forever, because effectively it is. And like you said, Stuart, if your mum's going to be upset by it, then don't post it.
Yeah.
And it's some really simple rules that you can follow to be as safe as possible without censoring yourself too much. But you essentially want to get your personality across, and you shouldn't feel like, oh, well, should I post that because it might annoy X, Y, and Z person. It's about being able to be confident enough that you are not going to have some direct repercussions from staff, for example, that a post has upset somebody or that kind of thing. So, no, we don't actively monitor it. No, I wouldn't do. I don't think that that's fair. But I think that our staff would be confident enough to know that I would trust them enough to be able to represent our brand.
Plus, you know, you're in a business, you know, clearly, you know, you're doing social media for companies, yeah. And so you want to encourage the staff to be active on social media because that's
social.
Exactly, that's you know, you want them to be social with a small S on, yeah. on social media. I mean, I've been involved with a franchise where clearly, you know, I felt I was one of the few that, you know, got involved in social media. Some of the others were more reticent, and it was always a big issue. And when they did get on, some of them were clearly a little tired and emotional, especially when they got onto Facebook and said stuff that, you know, just tarnished the brand for everybody else. And so they had to have their knuckles wrapped, and they go, oh, but why? I says, you know, you're adults, you know, we've had children who are less, less trouble than you lot are. Mm. Or I'm involved with scouting. Clearly there are, you know, there are a whole bunch of sensitivities you've got to be managed, and clearly we want to promote, you know, photos, videos are a very powerful way of promoting the positive aspects of scouting, but clearly you get some parents who are oversensitive as well, so we have Facebook groups and stuff like that, and we have, you know, despite us writing, in our group joining, you know, we'll take photos and we will use them. You know, we are very careful because we obviously don't want to be, testing the boundaries with parents who are sensitive.
You made a good point there, actually, because one of the interesting things about Facebook is that while you can monitor everything that you do on Facebook, you do have limited control over what gets posted on your wall. Because essentially, if you have a night out, because no one's saying that, you sort of, like, you have to give up your life when you go into business.
Yeah.
But you can't control your friends and stop them posting things, especially if you sort of say to them, oh, don't post this, by the way. What bigger incentive do you need to post something?
The word not is one of those neuristic NLP, you know, things. You know, just putting the word not makes people do stuff.
So you end up in a situation where you say you're on a stag do, and then suddenly next morning you realise all these pictures have turned up that you've been tagged in for that, and you have to do damage assessment, damage control. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, employers, you know, is it, you know, when I first, you know, gone into business myself, you know, and that was the sort of start of the sort of social media revolution 6-7 years ago. You know, and clearly people saying, oh, Facebook, you know, they, you know, we're searching Facebook and we're finding kids, you know, getting drunk parties. And now I think, you know, yes, use Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, get out there, show all the positive things that you want to do about your, you know, your life so far, especially for youngsters. That would be my advice, because clearly, you know, helping old ladies across the street is good for your, you know, your profile going forward to university and jobs. But but also, as you say, Steve, have a life, you know. I mean, if they're not having parties and you know, they're drunk photos and getting drunk on Facebook, I'd worry about them as well. Because are they actually going to be, sort of people that I want to employ in my business? Are they going to be normal? Or can they socialise? Can they be part of a team? So I think there's, employers will use any excuse not to hire people or be horrible or bash it, but, you know, good employers will take the rough with the smooth. And that's, unfortunately, part of what social media is about. There's going to be a mixture. And Facebook, unfortunately, is really at the sort of cusp of the rough and the smooth of social media, the good bits and the bad bits. Everything is encompassed in the one platform.
Yeah, I think as well, though, if you're worried that you go out on a night out and you're worried what's going to be on Facebook the next day, then you're managing Facebook wrong.
Yeah.
A good point is, cybersecurity is clearly a big issue, but test it out. Actually, go on and log out of your Facebook account and try and get on your own account without being logged in and see what someone could see if they don't know you.
Yeah.
And have a look and see what actual information you're giving away, because I guarantee you'll be surprised by that. It's
definitely,
it's quite a scary thing. If it's the first time you've done that, you've never logged out of your Facebook account and logged in as someone anonymous and had a look at yourself to see what someone that doesn't know you could see on there.
Yeah.
If you haven't actually nailed down your security on there, then that's absolutely the first thing to do on there. Because really, all you need to show on your Facebook page to someone that doesn't know you is a picture and your name. You don't need to give anything else away from that.
Yeah.
That's enough information for them to connect to you, and you can make a decision from there. Do I connect or don't I connect from that?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we've kind of digressed from our original topic of what are you posting on there, but it is a bigger issue of cybersecurity that I think there's a lot of people that leave themselves incredibly vulnerable. And it comes back around. I mean, you may talk about sort of like people think you're a weirdo if you're not doing the nights out and the drinks as well, but there's a lot of very conservative companies out there that will happily do a Facebook check and see what type of person you are.
And if you think that, you know, if you want a job with that sort of company, then sort yourself out. But if you don't want to work with that sort of company, then, you know, don't apply to them.
Have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think think also about kids these days, and I think I'm interested in it, you know, especially my two, who are a bit older than your guys are, is how, you know, how much they're very concerned in having stuff not posted on it. So my wife posting, you know, a photo of my son, you know, he gets like, do not post that photo, you know, of me, you know, asleep looking cute, you know, that's
they
stop
get a
doing
censorship.
It. Yeah, they're censoring it themselves, and they get quite cross really, so.
But again, it's exactly the same thing. They're worried about what their peers that they're connected
exactly,
with
yeah,
are
yeah.
going to say and how they're going to react to whatever that post was.
Yeah,
And it's the same thing. And
there's that mixing as well when you go, you know, when you're a parent, you know, as they get older, you know, these young people start connecting up with you and you go, do I really connect up with them, you know?
And that's the other issue as well. If you work in an industry with young people, and we've all been involved in young enterprise in some way as well, but then you have the issue of, when young people want to connect with you through, I mean, most of them, let's face it, aren't on Facebook now. They've moved on. They're on Snapchat, Instagram, and the profitable trendy ones that we don't really know about.
Yeah.
But when they want to connect with you as well, there is issues there with risk you're putting upon yourself. If you're connecting with anyone under 18, you're opening yourself up.
I'm very clear. If I don't, you know, if I've met them through Young Enterprise, example, and there's some of the young guys, you know, if it's a LinkedIn, fine, because it's, you know, professionally speaking, I'll be interested to see where these guys end up in 10, 15 years' time, because clearly some of them are going to be very successful and, you know, why not, you know, riding on their coattails. Facebook, now I'd probably avoid it like the plague, you know, because you just don't know.
Are you connected to either of your children?
My daughter came off Facebook, and so I'm not sure anything. We're connected on Instagram, I think, because my daughter manages Instagram. She's on Snapchat as well, but I don't do Snapchat, so who knows what, you know, what's going on.
You probably don't want to know what goes on that.
No, I probably don't know that. That's too young. But, and I think it's probably that's getting less cool, because, you know, people like my wife are getting onto Snapchat, and, you know, middle-aged people are not cool as far as teenagers are concerned.
That is the easiest way to kill a social media platform, isn't it, as well? Yeah. If we get on it, it quickly dies and somebody else comes out as well. So, yeah, so my new thing is I'm going to go on Snapchat then and get rid of that for my kids.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But from a marketing point of view, whatever the kids are using now, in 5 years' time, will be using because the market ages up.
Yeah. They just test it for us, basically.
That's just how they all work.
They're product testers for us. They can test it out and tell us what's good, and then we'll decide if we adopt it or not.
Yes. Which filters are good on Snapchat. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we like to finish each episode with a bit of a top tips list, and we're going to do five things then that you should take away from this podcast. Things that you can put into action, but things also that you can think about, am I doing this on Facebook? And what are people actually thinking about this when I do this on Facebook? So the first one is cybersecurity. If you haven't checked your profile and you're not sure what people can see on there, find out actually what someone that isn't your friend can see on Facebook, and make sure you're not giving anything away that you don't want someone to see. So that is tip number one. Stuart?
I think tip number two, you know, if your reputation is important to you, you know, avoid saying things which are inflammatory, derogatory, maybe politically or racially sensitive. In other words, don't post things when you are slightly, tired and emotional from too much alcohol.
Agreed. Carl?
I would definitely say manage who you're connected to and be more direct, really, about the people that you want to be connected with on Facebook, so the whole world doesn't see what you're posting. If it's personal, keep it personal. If it's business, then make it business.
You said something very good earlier, before we started the podcast, about only connected to people that you go for a drink with, and I think that's actually quite a good principle to have on there as well. Clearly, if someone is a business associate, you connect with them if that's what they want to do. But if someone is an associate or someone that's in neutral territory that you know through this, I think it's fair to look at and sort of say, maybe our relationship isn't at that stage yet. And
Definitely.
Sit on that request a little bit.
It's a bit of a yardstick. It's would I have 3 or 4 pints with this person and not be too worried about if I do something that's a little bit non-business-like, shall we say, after having a few beers. It's not just going out and just having a social kind of thing. It's a bit more than that, about how much you would want to open up and make that person have access to everything, really, every aspect. And because on Facebook, that's how I am. I don't censor what I put on there, because I've taken the time and the effort to make sure I'm only connected with the people that I'm not worried about what I say in front of them. That's not to say that I would be too over the top, but that's the personality that I've got, and that's how I manage it.
Very good. I'm going to throw out there pages that you like, because I think we haven't talked about this as well, but that's actually quite insightful into different personality types. For those that aren't aware, there's when you like a page, it's visible to everyone that also clicks on that page that you've liked it, so it'll come up on there. So in the more moderate side of things, political views, if you've liked the Labour Party, UK Independence Party, their pages, it'll be shown to all of your friends essentially for that. On the extreme side of things, you then get people where they've sort of like, unintentionally liked pornography websites, unintentionally.
That's not unintentional, Steve. You don't do it.
I'm being too generous, aren't I? Yeah. Okay. Okay, they've intentionally...
Yes, avoid that, I think, is probably a good thing to do. Definitely.
So think about what you're liking on there, because it is completely visible to you there. I mean, we've seen extreme things of people liking book reviews for Mein Kampf, people liking British National Party pages for that. Now, I get that people have strong political allegiances, but there are clearly some views that actually will... cause you a lot more trouble than it's worth in business. So
people don't realise that those kind of things are seen by everybody else as well, and it's not just actually liking the page, it's when you like the post as well. I've got a few people that you can tell that they don't know that you see some of those things, and it's not 100% of the time, obviously.
Because the algorithmic nature of
exactly. It's
Facebook
based on your news feed and how closely you're connected. But I've got some friends that they'll be liking something, and then I'll have a bit of a joke with them saying, well, your wife doesn't know that you've liked that, or your husband doesn't know that you're engaging with that post or whatever. So it's being aware of those kind of things as well. It's not just about liking the page itself, which is for everybody to see, but when you interact with them as well, those are the things that come up and can really show somebody's personality as well.
Absolutely. So a final one. I mean, I've got one more, but...
Go on, Steve, you go for it, yeah.
I was going to say the amount you post on Facebook, because actually, I think if you're in business and you're a regular poster of social Facebook content, now, I'm certain there are people out there that will look and sort of think, you should be working. If you posted 5 times in an hour and it's mid-afternoon, and I've got a deadline that I'm expected to be done, and you're there posting crap on Facebook, you're there liking this page, you're there showing this article, I think... Think about the times that you're posting and sharing content.
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I post most of my stuff comes through via Instagram through automation. And I think once a day, you know, a couple of times a day, which is probably the maximum I'll do, because if I was to do my business Instagram, my personal Instagram, that would be the maximum. And I'll probably do a few shares. And most of them I'll share to my business page anyway, you know, to, you know, like if Carl's, you know, digitalized, put something out, or you guys at Light Films put out something great, you know, I'll post it to my Facebook, you know, business page, you know, and nothing more, nothing less, you know.
I mean, I guess what we're getting back to is that Facebook is now connected to everything. So what you watch on Netflix, what you've watched on YouTube, what websites you visited, and everything's got a share button on there. And there's the people that just like to press share on everything that they've been on as well.
Yeah. Avoid that like the plague, you know. Yeah. If you want to overshare, do it on Twitter when, you know, 7 seconds, it's gone, here and gone, you know, it's much more transient, you know.
Yeah, so. I've had that issue where I've had something on Spotify and it's automatically posted to Facebook, and it's been something embarrassing or not to... something that I would like to listen to, maybe.
Indeed.
But those are the kind of things, yeah, like you say, the frequency of posts. There's some people that just post continually about the same kind of stuff, and there's no variety in what they talk about, and you sort of get that perception that they're very one-dimensional. They're only focused on that one thing, which is a bit disappointing, really, because you would expect on Facebook people to be talking about lots of different things, and that's the kind of thing that I would expect to see from the people that I'm connected to.
Some intelligent thought behind their posts.
Definitely.
Well, let's call the episode there as well. So I hope you enjoyed listening to our discussion, but essentially we want to hear your thoughts on this as well. The podcast isn't just there to hear us rant about things. We want you to join our rants. So tell us about some Facebook horror stories. Tell us about some embarrassing posts you've seen on your wall as well.
Or some of the stupid things that you've done and regretted it afterwards, you know, and definitely. Thinking, oh no, what have I done?
Help us save others from your mistakes. So thank you, Carl, for being our guest.
No
just
problem.
To recap, you can connect to Carl on Twitter at Digital Eyes, that's EYES_M. You can connect to myself on Twitter at Lilac Films, and you can connect to Stuart at Conspicuous CBM.
Indeed. And can I thank the couple of people that joined us, you know, our friends on our on the live stream, the Facebook live stream, which Carl said I've been doing now, Dave Perkins and Dawn McGovern, you know, our old friends, you know. So thank you very much indeed, guys, for joining us and being with us during this experiment with Facebook Live.
And we've got another episode coming up as well. So we do two episodes back to back. So do join us for that one. And post as well. We will respond to your post. If you post on there as well, we will discuss on there as well. So
exactly.
It's a great way to join us.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next Monday for another episode.
Bye-bye.